Welcome to God and Country Radio. Pruin discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in life scripture. All history is his story, God's story. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week's program is number 5 in the ongoing Ukraine crisis. Program 204 was about wars and rumors of wars, the spiritual lesson God has for us in all of these earthly wars. Program 205 was about how foolish foreign policy was usually the occasion for all of the wars in ancient Israel. Program number 206 was about the fossil fuel component of this war, how the political left is in a war against oil. Last week, program 207 was about the possibility of this war escalating into World War III. So as I said at the beginning of this conflict, this is a big story, and there are going to be many programs addressing the various issues. I believe in the COVID crisis, I did at least 25 programs, and this crisis also looks like it's going to be ongoing, and there are many more programs to come. The issue I want to discuss today is the Ukraine crisis and conspiracy theories. Some conservatives, even in Christian circles, are talking about how corrupt Ukraine is, how the globalists, the leftists, and people like George Soros are supporting Ukraine over the Russians. And that makes some conservatives suspect that maybe the Russians are right and Ukraine is wrong. After all, anything George Soros is for, we should probably be against. And I addressed this issue a little bit a few weeks ago, and that what we're seeing is that our federal government has become so corrupt that good people are no longer believing in our government, no longer wanting to support our government, at least to the same degree as in the past. If we get into a war, I doubt there's going to be the same kind of nationalism like we had in World War II. I mean, since our government is promoting transgenderism, LGBTQ and abortion, who wants to support the administration of Ahab and Jezebel? Good people don't want to lay down their life for evil. And when a country becomes ungodly, it puts itself in a very bad place. The citizenship begins to actually want to see its own government collapse. And that's eventually what the Christians said about the Roman Empire, good riddance. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 9, what is to die, let it die. Well, we're not there yet, but there is anti-government sentiment that's starting to arise in our own country. And I think this explains why there are pro-Russian sentiments in conservative social media. So the conspiracy theory is this. The West, NATO and the United States, want to create a great reset, a new world order, a globalist union. Just look at all of the globalist statements coming out of the World Economic Forum. And all of these Western leaders are plants and disciples of the WEF or the CFR, the Council for Foreign Relations. And Russia doesn't want to play along with this globalism, this power-hungry West. And this is why the West is ganging up on the Russians. As if Vladimir Putin doesn't want to be part of the evil organization like Spectre in a Bond movie. And if the West wins Ukraine, the West and the World Economic Forum will be able to push for their great reset, this new world order. Now, the opposite view is that Putin is evil. He has totalitarian, imperialistic goals. And even though Western nations are becoming morally corrupt, they still believe in national sovereignty and democratic governments. For example, Jack Barsky, a Russian spy who defected years ago, was interviewed on one of the morning shows. And he pointed out that the Obama administration was naive in thinking it could play nice with Putin. Quote, America has not paid enough attention to what Putin has been planning for a long time. He wants to establish a greater Russia as it was in the past. And Putin has been pretty open about this. He has stated publicly that He doesn't consider Ukraine to be a sovereign nation and that Ukraine and Russia should be united. But of course, if you're into conspiracy theories, you'll think that Jack Barsky is a government plant, given the anti-Russian narrative. Here's another example. In the periodical The American Thinker, there was a battle between two writers, Dan Truitt and Jacob Fraden. Truitt wrote an article supporting Putin, that Putin was just defending his country against a NATO incursion, that Putin is just putting Russia first, looking out after his people. Quote from Truitt, Ukraine belonged to Russia for centuries. The two countries have almost identical cultures and languages. Kiev used to be the capital of Russia. Putin's war is a war of defense. Russia, rightly in my view, feels threatened by NATO's expansion. Russia is a mainly land-based continental power that desires a buffer with the West. Ukraine serves that purpose perfectly. It was the United States that triggered a coup in Ukraine in 2014, overthrowing the democratically elected president who was Russia-friendly and installing a pro-Western, pro-NATO leader. Putin has no intentions of reconstituting the Soviet Union. That's a big fat lie. This war is the West's fault, not Putin's. At any time, we could have discussed these issues with Putin instead of seeking closer ties with Russia, as Trump was attempting. We constantly antagonize Russia with our NATO expansion. What we should be doing is reassuring Russia that we are not a threat, making treaties with Russia, bringing us closer together. After all, they are a European Orthodox Christian nation, and we need to turn our united efforts against the real threat, China. We couldn't have mishandled this more. So Jacob Fraden responds to Dan Truitt's article. Quote, I couldn't believe my eyes when I read in The American Thinker the recent article by Dan Truitt on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Almost word by word, it repeated the Russian propaganda that's being fed by the Ministry of Truth in Moscow. Then Fraden goes on to explain, Putin is not a genius. He has destroyed every single industry in his nation except gas and oil, and he sells it abroad to get hard currency to line the pockets of his cronies. And this war is not the fault of the West. Putin does want to rebuild the Soviet Union. Putin has been saying this for a number of years. This is why he invaded Crimea and Georgia to set up a puppet government there. And he was doing the same thing in Ukraine until the West came in to help out the people who didn't want to be part of Russia. And of course, Putin feels threatened by NATO expansion because Putin wants to rebuild his totalitarian empire. NATO has been a defensive organization. They do not have any aspirations of taking over Russia. And Russia really doesn't need a buffer against NATO nations. And the reason Ukraine people want to be free from Russia is because they didn't want the poverty and totalitarianism of Russia. Remember, Russia starved to death 4 million Ukrainians in the 1930s. And the Ukrainians are not Russians. They speak a different language. If Russia wants nations to join them, Russia should work on making their own nation great and making Russia a desirable nation to want to identify with. But like most dictators, they get other nations to join them by force. Then Fraden goes on to give all sorts of examples of Russian aggression toward its neighbors, Finland, Sweden, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And if it weren't for NATO, Russia would have already invaded these countries and claimed that they belong to Russia. Fraden concludes, it appears that Dan Truitt either works for the Russian propaganda machine or is not watching TV or reading the news. We see in Ukraine a true patriotic war when all able men are sending their wives and children to hide in Poland and other countries and go themselves into the bloody fight to drive the invaders from their soil. It is a true heroic resistance now going on in Ukraine. Is the bombardment of residential buildings, hospitals, schools, and maternity wards and the shooting of clearly marked press vehicles just collateral damage? For such collateral damage, many war criminals were hanged at Nuremberg in 1946. So, that was kind of lengthy, but I had to share it to give us a sense of the pro-Putin versus pro-Zelensky debate. And who is right? Who can we trust? And this is where a deep understanding of biblical morals come into play. The Bible helps to keep us from being swayed by every pundit or news story. We can assess the situation by remembering some basic biblical mandates. First, the Genesis chapter 11 principle, that God has established national boundaries, and God has divided up the nations according to languages, and it's wrong for one people group to steal the land from another people group. It's unlawful to monopolize territory. Be content with what you have, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8. Woe to those who add land to land. And it just so happens that the country of Russia has the largest landmass of all nations. And they haven't even developed their own nation, and yet they're stealing land from other people. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. The second overriding value that helps us discern this war is that we know that the killing of innocent people is evil. Joel chapter 3, verse 19. Egypt will become a waste and Edom will become a desolate wilderness because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. Jeremiah 2, 34. Also, on your skirt is found the lifeblood of the innocent poor. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 6. Do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. Whenever we see the shedding of innocent blood, it's surely the devil's fingerprints. The West, NATO nations, are far from perfect, and God can be using this war to punish the West. But still, the West can be right in standing up against the transgression of national borders and the taking of innocent life. So it's by these biblical values we can discern which voices are right and which voices are wrong. And those who have their feet firmly grounded in biblical ethics won't be led astray by other arguments. You know, these claims from Putin that he's a freedom fighter, you know, liberating the Ukrainians from neo-Nazism. Remember, evil always portrays itself as being good. Even Adolf Hitler roped in conservative Lutherans because Hitler was for nationalism. And nationalism is a good thing. And Hitler was anti-communist. And Hitler was against the sexual perversions and the deviant art arising among the German elites. This is what the book burnings were all about. Hitler was for a handful of good things, but he was also for a handful of evil. Remember, the devil plays both sides, and he mixes truth in every lie. So expect the same thing with Putin. And even be aware of our own government. But this we do know. A leader or a movement shows itself to be evil when it invades other countries and kills innocent life. Now, a side note here, why do Christians even have to have an opinion on this Ukrainian war? I mean, after all, the Secretary of State is not going to call you up asking for your opinion. Well, the fact is, we are in a democracy, and you are the Secretary of State. Now, if we were in some totalitarian state, we would not be responsible, but since we live in a democracy, we are the government. And we will be voting for our political representatives in the next election. They're our employees. Furthermore, I believe God would have his people to know these things. After all, we're preparing to rule and reign with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He who is spiritual appraises all things. And in Ezekiel chapter 8, God has the prophet Ezekiel in a vision, dig through the wall in the temple to discover what's really going on. Ezekiel 8:9, God said to Ezekiel, go in and see the wicked abominations that are committed here. So we're to really know what's going on behind the scenes in this world, and we can grow in all knowledge and discernment by seeing what is happening in the world. The world is God's classroom by which he trains us to discern good and evil. Now, before I get into discussing some more about the Ukrainian-Russian conspiracy theories, the Hunter Biden connection, the biolabs in Ukraine, I want to address conspiracy theories in general. Conspiracy diehards think you and I don't know about the Trilateral Commission, Agenda 21, the Great Reset, the history of the Federal Reserve, the Bilderberg Group, the World Economic Forum. They believe they have gained some insider information. And when many Christians for the first time read about these groups and these events, they believe they have tapped into some secret information about who's pulling the strings in this world. That all the wars have been planned and engineered by the bankers or by a cabal of world leaders. And many websites and articles interpret the world in this way. So Christians who are introduced to this material for the first time can often fall for these conspiracy interpretations because they sound convincing. I mean, that is if you don't hear the other side of the story. And of course, these sites and articles never tell you the other side of the story. For example, these conspiracy theories will tell the reader that COVID-19 was deliberately spread through the world to create a crisis so that the world leaders can have emergency authorities and assume more power. It was a plandemic, not a pandemic. And conspiracy theories say that a secret cabal of world leaders infiltrated the 2020 election to get rid of Donald Trump because Trump wasn't playing along with their globalist agenda. Trump wanted to make America great, but these world leaders wanted to disempower America, so they put in Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is deliberately letting illegals come into the country to destroy our national sovereignty. And he's deliberately deficit spending to bankrupt the country. And apparently all of this is being engineered by the World Economic Forum or the UN. Justin Trudeau, Biden, and many other world leaders are seen attending meetings at the World Economic Forum at Davos, Switzerland. And what these speakers are saying at these meetings is clearly Antichrist globalism. And again, the conspiracy is that the reason the West is in a war with Russia is because Putin is not going along with the New World Order. And all of these conspiracy theories sound reasonable because what Biden and his administration is doing to destroy America can't simply be stupidity. It looks like a plan. And the World Economic Forum has actually stated their plan publicly. So conspiracy theorists are not all wrong. There are some bad actors in this world that are trying to come up with evil plans. But the basic argument I have with conspiracy theories is that they give way too much power to man. These conspiracy theorists actually believe there's a group of insiders who have the power to start wars, change economies, depose presidents. At Davos, some of these speakers dream of curing old age and creating transhumanism, man integrated with machines. You know, the evil is not that they can actually do these things. The evil is that they believe that someday they will be able to do these things. It's the wishful thinking of their godless secular minds. But the reality is they don't have this power. And even though they talk about all that they want to accomplish, it always backfires on them. They can't start or end the wars that they want. They can't control the economies as much as they think. They have no control over viruses, even if they themselves have released them or have tried to use them. Even when God allows the Antichrist and his union of 10 nations to arise in the earth, the book of the Revelation describes the whole thing as one big train wreck. It doesn't work like they hope. So we have to understand conspiracy theories in the light of what the Bible says about God's sovereignty. Psalm 75, 4. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up the horn on high, do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For the cup is in the hand of the Lord. Or Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9. Be broken, O people, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places on earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Job chapter 5, verse 2. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd, so that the hands cannot attain success. So Christians of all people should understand the limited power of man in engineering world events. These people may try, but it's really outside their control. Just because business leaders and politicians make their speeches and lay down their plans, doesn't mean we're supposed to believe they're actually controlling the world. If anything, we're to understand that they're trying to react to what's already happening, and they're boasting vainly about what they think they can do. Psalm chapter 2, God laughs at these people, and we should laugh at them also. Here's an interesting article from Richard Fernandez, the last party in Davos 2019. Quote, they converged from all over the world into a little town in Switzerland. Names like Sir David Attenborough, Shinzo Abe, Angela Merkel, Prince William, and Jacinda Ardern gather in the Swiss town of Davos for the World Economic Forum's annual meeting of 2019, making up a supporting cast where 3,000 mere millionaires and celebrities from business, government, civil society, academia, arts and culture, and media meet. On the agenda was literally the roadmap for the future of the world. More formally, the theme was Globalization 4.0, shaping a global architecture in an age of the fourth industrial revolution. And what a plan it was. There was a scheme for a global data governance, antimicrobial resistance, and to put an end to global warming. What they couldn't have predicted, that 3 years later, the president of Afghanistan would be driven out of the country by the Taliban. The global COVID pandemic would displace concerns over antimicrobial resistance. President Joe Biden would be begging Saudi Arabia and Venezuela for oil. Europe would be reviving nuclear power and coal. And there'd be worries over famine in the Middle East. And NATO would be on the brink of war with Russia invading Ukraine. And the in-person 2021 Davos meeting would itself be canceled due to the COVID pandemic. Events are now developing too rapidly for the explainers to cope. Then Richard Fernandez continues to explain how all of their plans have collapsed. But conspiracy theorists would claim, no, all of these turnbacks were actually part of the plan. Well, that's not the worldview I get from Scripture. These leaders may be trying to pull the strings, but their strings are actually being pulled by God. Nahum chapter 1, verse 9. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Well, I'm out of time. I'll discuss more of this in my video version of this program on YouTube and Rumble. The channel name is God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for God and Country is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to remember that you're sovereign over the nations. And help us to not fear what the world fears, for yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen.